This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Well, welcome back, Lucha Luscious. I don't know if that feels right for these episodes. Gotta come up with one for these episodes, I think.
Lucha Leeches. What about leeches?
No. It'll be totally different. It's got to be something completely different, playing off the fact that we're doing interviews and all that. Speaking of which, this is an episode of Lucha Undead, Get to Know PTB and PWO, but this is a very special arcade audio edition where we have on the line Mr. Rich Cavallucci. Rich, how are you doing tonight?
Guys, I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me. Super excited. I'm pumped to just to see where the night takes us.
Yes, exactly. So for a lot of people listening to this, they may or may not be familiar with Rich because, as I said just right now, the show is usually about PTB and PWO podcasts. We've dipped our toe in Voices of Wrestling. We've had on Jeff Hawkins, Rob McCarron. We've had Trask on from Wrestling with Words. We'll definitely get a lot more of those people on. But tonight we have one of the original members of Podswoggle, and it's grown into this entire bigger network of arcade audio, which in a weird way, you guys don't even do too many wrestling podcasts. I mean, realistically, Rich, how did it start out? It did start out with Podswoggle, I'm guessing. Or was there a podcast even before that?
There was actually a podcast before that. And it featured myself, the host of Podswoggle, Chris Mullett, as well as the other members of the squad, Tope Adebanjo and Augie Artiles. In college, we were all in an improv group together called Araka, and we would just do what you do in college when you're in an improv troupe, and you would fart around, drink beers, tell dumb stories, and we all just started listening to podcasts around the same time, mainly like BS Report and Smodcast, and we're like, oh, we could do that without the audience. And so yeah, there was like 60 something episodes, and it just ended up being mostly like a storytelling podcast. And then one day our good friend Rudy Mendoza, he noticed, like, yeah, you guys have been having a lot more wrestling episodes lately. If you guys just did, like, a wrestling podcast, there's probably, like, people that want to listen to that. And we're like, shut up. Oh, no, you're probably right. And Podswoggle was born.
When was that revelation? I mean, not to age you or let it, you know, let anybody in on the secret, but when was the... What year was it when you guys were like, hey, let's switch this over from the kind of joking around to the let's make it mostly wrestling podcast?
That was, I want to say, our first episode was WrestleMania 27. So what freaking year was that? 2011, 12, 11, I think, right?
Yeah, that would be like 11. Well, okay. So that's 7, 3, 1. So that's like 4 years ago. So that would be, yeah, like 2011, 2012, in that range, I think. That makes sense?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's 2011 because we have entered into our sixth year of Podswoggle. So,
okay, so you guys aren't quite at that smart wrestling fan, been around for like three decades yet, but you definitely were got in on the ground floor.
Yeah, a lot earlier than I mean, just a lot of podcasts in general. Yeah, and needless to say, not the math guy of the group, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think part of why I wanted to have you on was, I mean, the same reason why, I mean, Mullet's obviously the host of Podswoggle, but I feel like you're more the spearhead or the guy behind the arcade audio, the network side of things. Am I incorrect in that assumption?
That is not incorrect. It is, in fact, correct. Yeah, kind of taking the reins and trying to get the whole thing going here.
Yeah, and so what I've been doing as we've reached out to more and more other networks than just PTB and PWO, because that's kind of our home network, is yeah. I try to go to the source and get to the first guy from the group. But we'll start branching out and talking to other guys within your guys' network as well. But so you eventually switch over to Podswoggle. Interesting show in that, like, I love the tagline, you know, it's a wrestling podcast with entertainment as opposed to a lot of the other wrestling podcasts that are just with facts. Which, unfortunately, I mean, I'll admit it, my other show, This Week in Wrestling, is like, it is wrestling podcast with just the facts. The funniest parts of that podcast on the floor as we get to the dry nitty-gritty of breaking down the G1. So, I mean, what with you guys being improvers and coming from a podcast where you did joking around, was that the idea that was your, what is it, your unfair advantage, is you figured we could do a wrestling show where it is actually fun and funny to listen to?
I mean, we just basically were kind of going for something that was more of, I mean, in the same vein of the other podcasts, which I failed to mention. The name of our improv troupe was Araka. The name of the show was Arakcast. So clever. And it only got more clever after that, some would argue. But yeah, we just sort of wanted the same sort of vibe and audio aesthetic, as it were, of having these conversations that were taking place in our living room, and just putting them on audio files. And yeah, that was kind of our thing, was, you know, we were all performers and writers, and so we were kind of able to bring a little bit of something that wasn't already happening. And like, there's totally a place for like, boom, 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 this is what happened, here's what was dope, here's what was lame, here's what was interesting. And our job, like, when we first started, I kind of wanted to be more like trashy and tabloidy. Like, I just want to talk about like who's dating and blah, blah, blah. And then, like, you know, it just evolved into what it was meant to be, and which is the show that we have now, which is like a lot of characters, a lot of jokes, and you know, every now and then we accidentally give analysis.
Your show really has turned into like a menagerie of, like you said, so many characters and so many different things. And I love the setup of the show now, where it feels like it goes like three or four episodes, and then you finally go, it almost feels like a big sigh, or like the air is let out of the room, and you go, all right, we have to do a news episode, everybody. And then you're talking, like, breaking down all the stories of the stuff that have happened in the past months. And it also seems like maybe the recording style of the show has changed quite a bit, maybe even recently, with, I think, a lot of you guys have moved to different areas. A lot of you are recording off-site now. And so is it that you're, you know, sitting down and recording a month's worth of episodes all at once? Am I crazy, or is that a right assessment of what's going on now?
No, that's pretty accurate. I mean, it started with all of us in the same room. And then shortly after the show started, Tope moved to New York. So we would Skype him in. And then one by one, we all just kind of kept moving away until it was just Mullet and I, still in Gainesville, Skyping to the rest of the guys. And then 2 years ago, I moved to Chicago, and yeah, it was, impossible for it to not sort of change kind of the dynamic. And so it has, it's kind of, adapted into another, version of the show. Like, you know, the longer the show goes, you'll probably be able to like break it up into eras or something. That sounded so blowhardy. Forget I said that.
Holy shit. Not at all. I mean, that's normal. Stuff evolves.
Is it like comic books? You got the Golden Age, the Silver Age.
Yeah. Man, I really miss the Attitude Era of Potswoggle.
People talk about, you know, Young Rich. Oh, I was a big fan of Young Rich, but once he started getting into that, you know, experimental stuff towards the back end of his career, that I kind of really checked out. No, I mean, it's true. The show has evolved and changed.
He's got more psychology now, though, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Now that he's older.
But you can kind of hear it in there, and I just wonder, like, how has that been for you specifically? I guess I don't want you to speak for everybody, but how has that been for you? I mean, the comedic timing has to be a lot tougher when you're over Skype, or do you feel close enough to the group that you guys can even over Skype have that same kind of camaraderie when it comes to, you know, being able to joke around and everything?
It honestly, yeah, it surprisingly feels a lot closer to us all being in the same room than I ever thought it would be. That's not saying that's like what it feels like exactly, but I mean, we are always like in constant contact with each other too. Like, we're all in the same text group. Like every day we're talking to each other. So there's always that continuity, and it's something that is referred to in improv as group mind. It's probably referred to in other avenues, but yeah. We knew there was definitely going to be a change, potentially a drop off in kind of like our dynamic, but it's surprisingly not nearly as much as we thought it was going to be, if at all. And yeah, like with everyone's schedules now, like, you know, Witten is just freaking flying all over the Southeast like every other week. Tope's production schedules are insane. Augie's trying to really be the roller hockey baron of Miami, and Mullet's having a freaking kid, which is crazy. It's awesome. But like, and I'm in Chicago, you know, trying to do an improv / podcast thing. So like all of our personal lives have just kicked into this high gear. So like whenever we do get together to record, it's a cool decompression session as well. And we do normally pump out at least like 2 episodes per sesh, as it were.
And I mean, how much of that is what we hear and how much of it is getting edited off? Like what's the average length of the call time when you guys are trying to pull off 2 episodes or 3 episodes at a time?
They could be anywhere around 3.5 hours. And that's really funny that you mentioned that. Because for the longest time, Mullet does the edit on the show, and he'll edit out a lot of the front end or the back end of us just kind of like BSing or whatever, just kind of getting into it before the show actually starts. And then there's a lot of stuff that is just like inappropriate. Like not good for the show. Like we leave a lot of shit on, but we take a lot of shit off. And we just recently had our 300th episode a week or two ago, depending on when this comes out. And so we promised our listeners, because we would always refer to the Just For Us file. So we promised our listeners that we would unlock the vault, so to speak. And that was episode 299, was just a huge compilation. I barely had to do anything with wrestling at all. And it was just like all the dumb stuff we talk about, like before and after, just like some shit talking, which is just ridiculous. And that ended up being like an hour and 45 minutes. And even then, probably cut about 35 minutes off of that.
Oh, yeah, okay. Because that's a big part of the point of the show kind of anyways, or I guess this leads into something where it's a big part of what the point of this show is even, is those backstories and that stuff becomes, it almost becomes folklore of your show, and then the people listening almost don't get let in. But it is, I think you guys do a pretty good job of not having as many the kind of secretive, we don't, yeah, like the fans don't know about this, but there are certain things where it just gets bleeped like crazy. Like, okay, there's the bleep every time, and it's always implicated that someone said something insanely racist. Now, I know some of the times it is, sometimes it isn't, but what would you say is the percentage of times that it was actually something racist and the percentage of times that it was a joke?
I feel like he's going to say every time it was a joke, right?
You would hope, right?
Like, I should?
Here we go.
But here's the thing. I want to say the 5% it is racist, it's usually self-racist against yourself or something.
Right.
Like, it's usually, like, me making an Italian joke or something like that. Or Augie making a Cuban joke.
Yeah, no, okay, yeah, because it's just, I always love it, and then I could kind of tell, you know, it's great because you can kind of tell it walks that line where sometimes it was like, maybe that one was real. I think that one might have been a real one.
I mean, hell, that's how we're doing our job, show, yeah. Tim. You know?
Yeah, except for you never edited it.
yeah,
that's
We're definitely doing our jobs then, but yeah, it's for the most part, definitely bit. The episode we recorded last night, I definitely put myself in a compromising position to where I'm probably going to get beeped pretty hard.
Nice. So the name, like you mentioned the name, and if the name's got any better over time, the name of the podcast now.
Yeah.
Was it like the what was it? The B-sharps on The Simpsons, where it was like, cause the name for me as someone who is like, oh, I am a psychology driven wrestling fan who only listens to smart podcasts. I was like, that name sounds really dumb. Like, I legit heard, and I was like, that name is dumb. And then I listened to the show, and it's just the thing about it is that there's 1,000 wacky, whatever we joke around podcasts. And there's even now plenty of them that talk about wrestling and joke around. But there's something about your guys has never really come across mean spirited, even when you are telling kind of messed up stories from the past. It always feels like this is meant to be funny, not to like take someone down. And also, like, it just feels like you guys are having such a good time that it works. So with the community that you bring around of your fan base, do you hear that a lot? Am I crazy? Am I like an outlier? Or do you hear that a lot of people that are like, you know, you guys are almost like my kind of vacation break from serious wrestling podcast? Cause that's how it is for me.
That's definitely something that we've heard, which is, I mean, I kind of mean you alluded to the name of the show earlier, and that's kind of one of the not good reasons, but one of the reasons why we did go with Podswoggle is it kind of inherently weeds out a certain type of listener and a certain type of wrestling fan. If you're willing to give a show named fucking Podswoggle a listen, there's a good chance you'll like what we bring to the table. Not only that, but like, yeah, I remember the night that Mullet and I were trying to come up with a name, and we were going through, you know, a million different wrestling phrases and terms and da 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 da. And we're like, yeah, I guess we could do that because of this or that because of this. And then Mullet said to me, I'm going to go out and have a cigarette. When I come back in, whatever the first thing that comes out of your mouth is what we're going to call the show. And like, Hornswoggle himself was kind of it's hard to say like an inside joke among us, because, you know, everyone was that listens to wrestling or watches wrestling or listens to wrestling. If you really listen, that's how it's really good. But yeah. Like, you know, he was an inside joke among us, and so he walks in, and I say, fucking Podswoggle. He's like, God damn it, that's the name of the show. And then we committed hard. Now, when we introduced our second podcast after Podswoggle, The Blank Slate, one, that was created just as a place to... same thing essentially doing on Podswoggle, but not about wrestling. So for all the people that listened, if you dug us and you dug our sensibilities, you might like us talking about other stuff. And then shortly after I moved up to Chicago and Mullet moved down to Orlando, they started Married with Movies. And then we started terming it like the Podswoggle Network. And it's like, well, shit, we've always kind of wanted to change the name of the podcast, but we're kind of too far in at this point to do it, but we're not too far in on the network to do it. So, and that's what essentially kind of lit the fire under my ass to it's like, all right, this is our shot. Otherwise we're going to be the Podswoggle Network forever and forever have to explain that name to everyone else. So that's how that happened.
All right. Well, this, I guess, would usually have been our time for getting to know your introduction to wrestling fandom, but we got so much into the background of the podcast that we almost kind of missed on it. So we're going to take a quick break, listen to the plugs from the Place to Be Nation, and then we'll come back and maybe cover that and also get into the network stuff, I guess. We'll be right back.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Voice of Ring of Honor's Kevin Kelly here. I want to make sure you're subscribed to all of our great feeds here at Place to Be Nation. Just head to iTunes today and search and subscribe to the Place to Be podcast feed, the PWO PTBN feed. PTBN Pop, and of course, the Kevin Kelly Show feed, which includes the full archives of my podcasts. Some really great stuff. Subscribe, listen, and then rate us and leave feedback today. Thanks for being a fan of professional wrestling. More importantly, thanks for being a fan and supporter of the Place to Be Nation.
All right, Rich, so you're just busting the format completely down. I guess it has to do with your improv background. You're completely just taking me to task. No, if I'm perfectly honest, it's because we've only done a few of these, and because the people run the gambit so much about their interests and what they're about and what they do, it's hard to hold anyone to anything. But so, Tim, yes.
In the interest of full disclosure, shouldn't we tell him how we used to make fun of improv all the time?
I mean, I guess. I mean, I think... Anyone who does improv knows that people who do stand-up make fun of improv. I mean,
oh, because it's the goddamn worst. Improv's the dumbest.
It's considered the lowest form of humor. And God, who was it? We just had Jeff Hawkins on a little while back, and he was talking. Yeah, he was talking about the same thing about how all the writers, if they find out, because we're out here in Hollywood, I'm in Los Angeles, and so is Jeff Hawkins. And he actually does, you know, work in the industry every now and then, which I never do. And he said even, like, in the writer's room, if they find out that you're the improv person in the writer's room, then they're going to take you to task and, you know, try to come up with jokes just to bust your balls. So I think everybody who does improv is aware of that. But you are in Chicago, right? So, I mean, there's a lot of improv in Chicago, no?
Oh, it's the mecca of it. I mean, yeah. But improv on the whole is pretty goddamn ridiculous. One of the great things about being in Chicago is you get to see some every now and then some like pretty fucking transcendent stuff, which is cool as hell. And there's also amazing stand-up here as well. And since I got up here, I've been kind of dipping my toe back into that as well. Not nearly as much as I wish I could, but as it were. And yeah, sorry for kind of being so long-winded on some of these responses here.
Oh no, you're fine. It's more me. I just started, you know, wanting to get into the backstory stuff, but God, I don't even know what I care more about. You know what? I care more about all of it. So let's just start out. How does Rich come into wrestling? You know, we know that you ended up starting a podcast after, you know, college, which is, yeah, that was it. Like you were doing improv in college. You guys started a podcast, but when did you get exposed to wrestling? What made you a fan? What was the whole thing with wrestling? I mean, where did it come into your life?
At a very early age. I feel like probably the same way a lot of people in my age group, my demographic, did. You know, I mean, Hulk Hogan was the dude. And there was no way around that. And it helped that, you know, all my friends when I was like, 5 or 6 or 7 watched it as well, and our dads watched it. I remember like home videos of my dad and my best friend's dad doing bushwhacker impressions around the living room and like licking their respective wives' heads and stuff. And yeah, it was all we did. And then sort of naturally kind of fades away until the Attitude Era comes back, and then it's again all you eat and breathe and sleep, and then high school happens and girls happen, and then college happens, and you know, for dumb college guys that like to fart around, wrestling is like perfect. And meeting Mullet honestly was what got me back into wrestling. That's a short little history.
Yeah, it seems like Mullet is very not only passionate about wrestling but just has this insane memory and just remembers everything about wrestling. Yeah. So it's probably infectious if you're like even interested in it at all. It's probably very hard not to just get sucked up into it by just being around him.
There has been so many parties that we've either had or been at where he would be outside smoking a cigarette and someone would like notice either like a toy championship belt that we had hanging up or like a shirt he was wearing. Go like, oh yeah, that's a wrestling thing, right? And then 3 hours later, they're still outside talking about wrestling.
Yeah, that's it, man. And it's so funny because you mentioned Hulk Hogan, and it's I grew up kind of on the NWA side of things, and I was like into Crockett when I was really young. But I remember being a kid and just having a Hulk Hogan poster and not really knowing where it came from or who he was, which was very weird. Like, I knew that he was a wrestler, but like I said, I watched more NWA, so I was like Sting, Ric Flair, Vader. I would have known who they were. But Hogan, I was like, why do I have that? And it just pops back into my head at some point. So I'm like, why? Where did that come? I never even liked Hogan. Like, he was never my guy. But that's how ubiquitous he was. I think I heard some study. They said, like, 85% of the world, if you show them a picture, they know who Hulk Hogan is from a picture. So that's just how ubiquitous he is as a star. And so if you did grow up in that era, there was no, you know, no way around it. You were going to get exposed to Hulk Hogan.
On the old website, the original Potswoggle.com, where we actually used to have articles and stuff, Mullet did a survey, sort of like a Family Feud style survey, where he would just stop. He stopped 100 people on the street and asked them to name 5 wrestlers off the top of their head. And Hogan was always like the first one, like 90% of the time.
Yeah, that seems about right. The other thing that you used to have on your website, or I don't know if you even still have it, was there was one particular shirt on your website that I just loved. Do you guys still have that there?
It probably is. We haven't touched it in a while.
I always loved that. It's just a blank white shirt, and I guess people can assume what it was in reference to, but it was someone that's not allowed to be mentioned. I always loved that. It was just so good.
I can't remember this exactly, but I think someone bought it.
Really?
One person, which like had to be a drunken bit. Like they had to like come home from the bar like 3:30 in the morning, like just listened to an episode that night and said, "I'm gonna fucking buy this."
It might have been someone who got such a kick out of it, it made them laugh that they thought you guys deserved the money just for them laughing about the joke. You know what I mean? Like, that's how I would take it, but...
Hey, more power, man. That's awesome. But yeah, I remember seeing it going like, no.
Of all things, right?
So
the point of the podcast, I'm supposed to ask, right? Like, have you ever been a member of the PWO board? Do you know, are you familiar with PWO?
I am not familiar with PWO, if I'm being completely honest. I feel bad about that. Oh, no,
that's fine. So PWO used to be, or it's still kind of connected to Death Valley Driver. It's pro wrestling only message board. It's the very serious message board. And if you've ever paid attention to like the Brian and Vinny show, whenever they would talk about the people who would say that Shawn Michaels is the worst wrestler ever and Chris Masters is amazing and stuff, that's the people who do it. So that's the kind of the affiliation or maybe the lineage of the PWO somewhat is the guys who argue about how, you know, Kurt Angle and Shawn Michaels aren't very good.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so I would assume, you know, just based on where you're at and kind of your fandom, that that's not a place that you would frequent. But did you have experience even before Podswoggle kind of going on, you know, wrestling, internet, message boards, forums, stuff like that? Or was starting a podcast about wrestling really your first foray into wrestling or the internet of wrestling and all that?
I'd say it was like just before that. I remember, again, hanging out with Mullet. And he went on some ratty looking website. And I'm like, what are you looking at? He's like, oh, Rey Mysterio is not going to be on the show tonight. I'm like, how'd you know that? And that was my first exposure to like the dirt sheets or whatever. And then it was kind of like a rabbit hole from there. Like, I think I remember I must have like tweeted something about wrestling and then like NoDQ.com followed me. I'm like, oh, this seems like it'll be my site. And it was for a while. And then probably the Squared Circle subreddit was like one of the first things I sort of got into as far as like conversation wise. And even then I barely ever talk. I'm more of a lurker there anyway. So, but yeah, it definitely came around that sort of big college time wrestling renaissance for me.
Okay. And yeah, I mean, you mentioned the Squared Circle subreddit, which it seems you guys get a lot of love over there, which is really cool because, you know, the people over there can be really particular about what podcasts or things people are allowed to talk about. So it's nice that they really embrace you guys and are supportive of you. And I know that I kind of saw it ramping up, I guess, as a fan that I noticed you guys were doing like the Macho Madness.
Macho Madness.
Yeah, and it kept getting more and more popular on the Reddit, the Squared Circle subreddit. And then there was, like you said, there was the Podswoggle Network. Quark that then got changed to Arcade Audio, which I mm-hmm. thought was cool. And then there was the podcast festival. I'm so sorry. I feel like such a rube right now that it's leaving my mind right now. But you put together a benefit for Connor Cure, which is like a 24-hour podcast marathon. What's that called?
It's called Pod Slam Podcast Marathon for Connor's Cure. It won't surprise me if in a few more years it does get to 24 hours. Currently, it's only 12 hours. We might go over a little over this year. But thank you so much for bringing that up.
Since that's
pretty much been what's been consuming my days and nights recently. We had our first one last year. And response was overwhelming. I had no idea what to expect. All I knew was I wanted to, back in college, for charity, we used to do this 12 hours of improv thing. And it was a lot of fun. And, you know, we all kind of bonded a lot over it. 'Cause by the end of the day, your brain is fried and everyone loves everyone. So I missed like that experience, but I also, hadn't been doing improv up here yet and didn't really know anybody, but we did have the podcast. And so let's try to get other podcasts, you know, in on this, and let's make a thing. Let's make a thing, which is like the simplest, but, I think most inspiring rally cry is make a thing. Kalisto was right, you guys. Make a good lucha thing. You guys are making a good lucha thing, Lucha Undead.
That's how our first podcast started, though. Tim was just like, hey, we should do a podcast. And we were like, okay.
Yeah, exactly. Let's just make a thing.
Yeah. I like that attitude. I really do.
No, me too. Yeah.
And that's honestly like what's kind of grabbed me by the scruff since I got up here was between the network and Pod Slam and seeing all of my other friends up here just make things. They're not asking for permission or like, you know, hoping they get a chance to do something. They're just going out there and making a thing. And Pod Slam is a really awesome thing for a really awesome cause. We raised over $1,600 last year. We're looking to raise over $2,000 this year. Last year we were working with the Children's Hospital, the Pittsburgh Children's Hospital. And this year it's now affiliated with the V Foundation, which is amazing. And is a legit great organization. Like you look them up on Charity Checker and all that stuff, like which I made sure to do. And their scores are like through the roof. They have a much higher score than what the bleeps of actual racism to non-racism are on Podswaggle.
That's fantastic. You said that you did charity stuff when you were doing improv in college. And I mean, is there a connection to it or is it just 100% philanthropy for you? It's not, you know, a history with people that you care about having these same problems. It was more just, if you're going to do something, you might as well do something good. Where's the motivation? What's the motivation for Rich to put so much of yourself into this?
Yeah. I mean, it is, it should be for everyone across the board, like help other people do good things. And I don't bring it up too much because it's not really about me, but like internally that's kind of a thing. Is I mean, you know, cancer's a horrible thing that comes in many different ways and forms and affects everybody in some way, shape, or form. If it hasn't affected you personally, it's affected somebody you know or someone you really close to someone you know. You don't have to go too many degrees far away to know someone who's been horribly affected by cancer. For me, my my mother had breast cancer. She had a double mastectomy in 2007. And, you know, that original charity that we worked with in college, we were raising money for American Cancer Society and Relay for Life. And, you know, that's kind of what got me into that. So that's more my personal connection. Like I said, don't really talk about it too much because, you know, everyone's got that in some way, shape, or form. And she's a survivor. She's kicking ass right now, which is the best thing to see. And not everyone's that lucky, unfortunately. And that's another absolutely amazing thing about Connor's Cure is its focus is on pediatric cancers, as well as helping out the kids and the families. And like it buys them like Legos and stuff, and it helps families like pay for parking, but also it helps towards cancer research. And you know, if you solve a pediatric cancer, you could use that information to turn around and, you know, apply that to other types of cancers potentially. And so it's all part of a bigger picture.
Oh no, that's really amazing and super awesome. And of course I'm going to bring it up because it's, you know, something good. And if I could amplify that as much as I can, I'm always going to. So, I mean, what do people need to do? I guess, I don't know if you mind getting into it. When's the next one starting, and what can people do right now to help?
Yeah. When's this coming out?
Should be, let me double check. I'll get you the exact date, but it should be late August.
Okay.
Should be next week.
It's 22nd. It's Monday. It's this coming up Monday.
Yeah.
Or actually, it'll probably be like the 23rd or the 24th. We're still kind of tooling around on which day we come out. We just switched networks, but it should be by the 24th. This will be out.
All right. Yeah. Well, first off, you can start by going to arcadeaudio.net/podslam. That will have all of your information there. Link to donate. You can donate right now. You do not have to wait until September 24th when the actual event does happen. You can come live to Chicago. If you're in Chicago, dope. If you're outside of Chicago, come to Chicago. One, awesome city. Two, it's right before it's going to get super cold. Three, we're having Podslam at the Bug House Theater in the city. We're not in one of the suburbs. We're in the city. We're right off the Irving Park Brown Line, if that means anything to you. If it doesn't, you can't make it to Chicago. We will be live streaming all day long from 1 p.m. Central to 1 a.m. Central. We already established I'm not good at math, so I'm not going to convert those for you. But you can donate now. Also, if you're in the Chicago area or you plan on making the trip, you could volunteer. We may need more volunteers as the event grows closer. And it's going to be a hell of a lineup too, you guys. Not only is the entire Swoggle squad going to be there, but some of our favorite Arcade Audio shows are going to be there. We're going to be doing a live Our Father. We're going to try to patch together a live Dilettante Ball. RJ Hates Rap. I'm so excited for this live RJ Hates Rap, just for everyone to be introduced to our friend RJ. If you're not familiar with this podcast, just check it out. It's on the website. It's on Arcade Audio. It's unique and and special. And RJ, I love him. He will be exposed. We also have a bunch of other awesome podcasts that are going to be there as well. Does This Work? Rock and Wrestling. Bad at Movies is coming back. They were there last year. Talking Wild. And I mean, this is a scoop, because these should be announced by the time this comes up, but if it's not, and there's still going to be other shows announced, but also Marty and Sarah Love Wrestling will be there as well.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. they're awesome. They're great. And come and check out their show and all the rest of the shows. There's going to be whole day passes as well as tickets potentially available online. That's why you got to stay tuned in to arcadeaudio.net/podslam, or I'm just going to run through all the plugs right now. Podslam Live on Twitter, Podslam on Instagram, and Podslam Podcast Marathon on Facebook.
Fantastic. Well, that's actually... Oh, go ahead, Adrian.
I was just going to say, I'm on your website right now, and I want to ask you about this. About this Married with Movies show. This sounds interesting, but before we get into that, I think we should go on a little break now.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rizzuto here. In addition to the archives of The Kevin Kelly Show, we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. And we now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to Be podcast feed, you can check out Scott Criscolo and me on the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, with our famous Vintage Vault pay-per-view reviews. PTBN also covers current-day wrestling with clotheslines and headlines, main event, Mission Indie Possible, in our monthly pay-per-view reaction shows with immediate feedback on WWE, NXT, and Ring of Honor Super Shows. Relive Wrestling's Past with our monthly pay-per-view rewind series led by Ben Morse and the Dangerous Alliance Wrestling Podcast as we dive into various subjects in the form of exercises and games. All of this in addition to Scott Keith's Podcast of Doom, which includes discussions on questions from listeners as well as current day and old school wrestling. We also have sports covered too with the Sports Lounge, the TJ McClune Show, and NBA Team Podcast. On our brand new PTB Pop podcast feed, we offer great shows such as the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, Rank and File, Lucha Undead, as well as a veritable podcast heaven for comics fans with the hard-traveling fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversation, and Imaginary Stories. Subscribe to both feeds on iTunes and be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows are available on PlayStation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tournaments and more. Be sure to check out the right-hand side of the site for details on how to support the site when you shop at Amazon and download our free Place to Be Vintage Vault Refresh ebooks. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, and Fall River, Massachusetts, and Scott Keith's Blog of Doom. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
So we are back. Really quick, you were mentioning your website, rkaudio.net. I'm actually on it right now. I'm looking at this show you have, Married with Movies. What's that about exactly?
That is the host of Podswoggle, Chris Mullett, and his lovely wife, Samantha Mullett. Mullett, just as much as he's into wrestling, he is into movies.
Oh, nice.
They own over 1,000 Blu-rays and DVDs. As much as I've told him, just stream it. Just stream it.
It's not the same thing, though. You got to understand it.
I know.
A movie lover's
perspective. Especially the criterions and all that stuff. I get it. But yeah, so every week they watch a different movie because they, back in college, they had kind of like a personal thing to try and get through all the movies just watching them together. And so they started that show when they moved to Orlando. That comes out every Thursday. As I mentioned before, they are pregnant with their first child. And so I'm really interested to see how this show kind of evolves and changes and morphs from like this young married couple that, you know, we'll talk about movies and bicker and love and all that stuff to like, you know, there's probably going to be like some infant crying in the background, like in a few months of these shows. Yeah. And how that dynamic's going to shift. I can't wait. That show is only going to get better and more interesting. It's a really, really good show. To begin with, man, they know what they're talking about.
Yeah. It looks right up my alley. Cause it runs the gamut from Inception to Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles to Neighbors to 9 months, which is on here as well. So I'm going to have to check that out actually. Cause that sounds really interesting.
They, for every movie, cause at the end of the show, they'll rate it. And, any movie that gets like a collective, like 2 or under, they smash with a hammer, and any movie that gets a combined or a unanimous 10 like goes in like a shadow box and stuff. And they have a bunch of cool running stuff to follow, and definitely check out all that they have to offer as well. They're awesome.
Nice. All right.
Well, Rich, I'm so discombobulated at this point. I want to talk about so many different things all at the same time. It feels like we just don't have enough time, as we've been trying to keep them in the hour range on these episodes, just so that they're a nice little bite-sized kind of snack for people to get into.
Yeah.
So, here's a weird one, just from picking up from being a fan of the podcast. Here's a cue for you. The book stuff. Are you an author? Am I crazy there?
The audiobook stuff?
Yeah, is that what it is? Books, and I never really like looked into it more, but I always thought it was this odd thing, and it's sometimes it's alluded to without really clearly said, and then other times it is clearly stated. So what is that? Let's dig a little bit deeper.
That was a thing I got into about like a year and a half ago. A buddy of mine from back in high school, who's an audio engineer now, kind of gave me a heads up to this sort of online service that connects voiceover talent with authors and publishers. And so I threw my hat into the ring and got a few gigs from it, which was pretty cool. It was something I had never done before. And yeah, there's some pretty good stuff on there. I don't believe there's a link yet on the website. But they're all on Audible. They're all on iTunes. If you search my name, they'll be there. It was kind of just like a thing that I was doing, until I found a job up here, to see if I could like turn that into something, which I still do plan on kind of like pursuing that end of things, just because, long term for Arcade Audio, I sort of have a vision of it being more than just podcasts. I want it to encompass more of the spoken word, as it were. And again, as pretentious as that sounds, trust me, it's pretentious. But yeah, I just found like a lot of similarities as far as like being in front of the same microphone for like a day solid, having to record like two chapters and then podcasts. And then potentially having talents from podcasts do audiobook narration and stuff like that. And you also get to meet like a lot of cool independent authors that are just like living a dream. Like they're independently publishing and they're putting it out there, not letting anyone tell them they can't. And that's awesome. I actually interviewed a few of the authors on the Blank Slate, and just crazy stories. Everyone's got crazy stories. It's awesome.
Yeah, no, that's actually super cool, and it's like you do have a really nice speaking voice, and you're able to do like characters and stuff like that. So I feel like I don't know if you dip into that at all on the audiobooks. Do you do you put on voices for different characters in the books at all, or you kind of keep it straight?
Oh no, for sure. I did a couple books of the Sky Castle series, which is like a children's series. And so you gotta like really lean in on those voices for that. And like, you know, do the voice of a dragon. That was not the voice I used.
Everyone knows that's an old miserly man. That was not a dragon.
That was not a dragon. I can't remember the exact voice I did, but let me just try to go into a dragon right now. Use the voice of a dragon. That was just a bellowy Seth Rogen. Or like a little boy demon. So yeah, you definitely lean in on some of those. And then some of the other ones, you got to be a little bit more straightforward and like be more subtle. It's like I didn't realize the crossroads I was going to be at, like when I got to like my first female character, and she's like, well, I'm not going to put on like a lady's voice, because that's just like shitty and insulting and like not true to like a character.
Insulting to
who? I don't know, really. It's just insulting to voices, I guess.
Did I stump you? I think I just stumped you a little bit.
Yeah.
That's the point of the show, Adrian.
Sorry.
Get it back on track.
But yeah, it didn't feel like right. Like it didn't feel right by anybody. And so just like, okay, yeah, just like, you know, be a little bit lighter in your voice. And, like, people will get it. You can trust that the audience will get it.
Yeah, I mean, I could see kind of why it would be offensive, but at the same time, it would also be kind of abrasive, I think, when you're putting on, like, a really just tonally seeming... If you don't do a good female voice, then you just don't. And, like, I don't want to hear you just doing a bad one for an entire book. That would probably end up turning me off completely.
Yeah.
All right, so Rich, we really just mucked this up and we didn't get into you at all. So what we're going to do is we're going to take one more quick break. Then we're going to come back and we're going to just lightning round Rich's background, Rich's past, as quickly as we can.
Hell yeah.
So one more quick break listening to plugs from the PTBN PWO Podcast Network.
This is Parv, and I'm here to tell you to listen and subscribe to the Pro Wrestling Only Place to Be Nation Podcast Network. That's the PWO PTBN Podcast Network, where you'll find a ton of in-depth shows done by hardcore fans. We've got Chris Zellner's 1-2 Punch of Exile on Bad Street, and with David Bickenspan, a smash hit Between the Sheets. We've got Wrestling Culture with Dylan Hales and Dave Musgrave, Goodwill Wrestling and the Reaction Shows with Good Old Will from Texas. We've got This Week in Wrestling with my man Pete and Johnny Sorrow, Stephen Graham and Tim Livingston's Pro Wrestling Super Show, Tag Teams Back Again with Kelly and Marty Sleaze, and a ton of other great shows too. And of course, there's Titans of Wrestling and Where the Big Boys Play with yours truly and some dude from down south called Chad. PWO, PTBN, Podcast Network.
All right, Rich, so we're going to lightning this through. I usually close out with my big final one, so you know what? I'm gonna say it to you now. And then you can think about it as we dig into your background. But what I'm going to ask you to tell me, and this is going to be a tough one because you're an open book who does, you know, 3 or 4 different podcasts and everything in the world. But if someone only knew you from your online presence as a podcaster, what would they be shocked and surprised to find out about you? We'll close out with that. But let's start out with where did Rich start out? Where did Rich grow up? Where was Rich born? That's what I want to know first.
Ooh, 100% born and bred Florida trash.
Ooh, nice.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Born are you the Florida man South I've Florida, heard so Hollywood much about? Because you're always in the news, by the way.
What's that?
Are you the Florida man I hear so much about on the internet? There's always something about a Florida man does this, Florida man does that. Are you him? Or do you know him by chance?
Not anymore. That's why I got the hell out of that state. but yeah, man. Believe the hype. Florida's fucking nuts.
Oh, I believe it.
I have a friend. Well, WrestleMania is in Florida, and I also have a friend who, their family lives up there, and last night we went out to dinner, and they're like, oh, we should all just go to Florida for vacation and hang out at my parents' place. They have a condo on the beach, and I'm like, people are trying to get me to go to WrestleMania, and I'm refusing to go to Florida. I'm not going to go to hang out at a condo on the beach with your mom. so, yeah, no thank you on the Florida, but I'll take your word for it. Thank you for, reinforcing my negative stereotyping of an entire state.
There are some beautiful things about the place, and you should definitely try to make it out there before it's underwater. But
oh yeah, definitely, yeah,
it's not at all bad.
All right, I'll look for the good parts. I'll have to find I don't know what the good parts
hit,
are.
If you ever go out there, hit me up. I'll give you a good list what to hit and what to avoid.
And then the next thing, so you go from Florida to college. Where did you go to college where you met all the other Swaggle Squatters?
University of Florida in Gainesville, Florida. So I went from, like, South Florida, which is basically the Northeast, to North Florida, which is Southern as hell. But as far as college town goes, Gainesville is fantastic. And it took me a long, long time to leave.
Yeah, I mean, you guys all met there, and I mean, I don't feel like everyone in the squad is born and bred Floridian, but a lot of you guys stayed there for quite a while until everyone started moving out. And at this point, is it just Augie is still in Florida?
It's Augie in Miami and Mullet in Orlando. Aside from that, Widen's in Nashville and Tope is in New York.
Okay. So, and then you end up coming out to Chicago, and that's fairly recently, because I feel like I remember even hearing it on the podcast when you were moving to Chicago. How long ago was that at this point?
It was 2 years at the beginning of August.
Oh, geez. So that's kind of crazy to think I've been listening to the podcast for that long, because I remember the time before you left. So I guess there's people who've been listening to it for the whole time, so they've been really committed. I feel bad for not getting it on the ground floor. I'm sorry, guys.
No. It's okay, man. It was a long time ago.
It's true.
And there was no reason to know about it.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I don't know. I think you guys did pretty good for yourself. So I guess we'll get back to it. We'll finish it out because we got into everything else. Like I said, you're pretty much an open book, but let's finish it out. Rich, what's the big shocker that someone who only knows you from Podswoggle, let's say, if they found out about you, is there anything?
Yeah, dang. Like that's the hard one is, man, cause we really let it all out. I've been racking my brain. I'm not going to lie. The one shocking thing about me, man, this is just more of a fun fact, and I feel bad for copping out.
No, go ahead.
If I think of something else, like later on down the line, I'll definitely let you guys know, and I'll just like call in for like 5 seconds and be like, this was crazy. But I was in the womb for 10 months. And I had to wear little baby leg braces to stretch my legs out because I wouldn't walk right without them.
Oh, wow.
That is really interesting.
Yeah, that's a cool one. You shouldn't be embarrassed. That's So what did they say was wrong? Just they wouldn't work? Their legs wouldn't work, I mean?
Yeah, I was in there for so long, and I grew, and I was just, like, cramped, and my legs were just, like, so, like, just pushed together, I guess. Yeah, it was weird. But like, you know, the theories are
to stay in there.
Like my mom's, what?
You just wanted to stay in there, huh?
The theory is that because my mom's go-to pregnancy food was Snickers, like I just didn't want to stop that train of rolling. So
sure. Yeah. I mean, you're not a self when you're hungry, and inside there you had plenty of Snickers, so you didn't ever have to become a person. I don't know.
Or to throw back, I guess, to their last marketing campaign, not going anywhere for a while.
That works better. See, I need to know retro Snickers better. There we go.
You're like, I got it going on here. I don't need to get out of here. What's wrong with you people? Leave me in.
It honestly sounds like you turned into human veal.
Oh, my God. That could have been... Well, I probably wouldn't have even known, but yeah, that's what I was baby veal.
Yeah, all right.
Human baby veal.
All right, Rich. I think that was a good one, but if you do come up with a better one, what we'll do is we'll edit it in and post.
I don't know how you can top that, to be honest.
I know. That's a good one, man, so you don't need to be ashamed.
All right.
Let's throw all the plugs again. Arcade Audio is the most important thing. Go to the network, but I guess the PodSlam is really the most important thing, but, you know, plug away, Rich.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. ArcadeAudio.net is where you can find all of our shows. And we also have some defunct blogs already. So that's how you know you're a real website. As well as ArcadeAudio.net/PodSlam. Everything you need to know about PodSlam is at that page. And you can donate right now. Don't wait for it. But if you want to wait for it, September 24th, live in Chicago, Illinois, 1 p.m. Central to 1 a.m. Central at the Bughouse Theater. All the details will be on the website. Also, follow Arcade Audio at @arcade_audio. And honestly, guys, thank you just so much for having me on. This was awesome. This was fun as hell. And yeah. Thanks.
You know, I wanted to say I'd like to go to Chicago, and I look it up on the maps. It's like 14 and a half hours away, so I'm like, yeah, I can't really just drive there. Never mind.
Hey, there have been some pretty cheap flights lately. That's all I'm going to say.
I should just look into it. I'm in Denver, by the way. That's why I thought. I'm close to Chicago, aren't I? Nope.
Like a time zone away.
Oh, yeah, you guys are almost there. Closer than me, and I'm thinking about going to Chicago. I was like, when you said the date, I was putting it together and seeing if I can make it work, but I just think it's not going to happen for me, unfortunately. It's not in the cards this year, but maybe next year. Otherwise, I guess, follow us on Twitter @LuchaUndead. God, I got so much stupid stuff coming out on Wrestling with Words. I'm probably going to be doing more reviews over there soon. And then I've also obviously got This Week in Wrestling. When you're listening to this, the latest episode, we would have been reviewing the SCI, so that's important. The Scenic City Invitational down in Chattanooga, Tennessee, right down there near where Wooden's at, right? And just probably the best tournament. Like, right after G1 kind of kicked my ass, SCI might be the best tournament of the year. So go listen to me talking about a tournament that I actually enjoyed for the first time all month. And then otherwise, Adrian, do you have anything you wanted to plug this week?
Yeah, follow me on Twitter at Dillaboots, and I will be sharing the link to the 48-hour short film that I was in. That is officially done, and it's out and on the internet for you to enjoy, and that's about it.
All right, well, thank you everybody for listening.